There is a leadership deficit in our culture. Now, there are plenty of people who are more than willing to assume positions of power and influence, and they will gladly take a leadership role. People are standing in line wanting a leadership role. That's the way it is in our world. But what I'm talking about is that there is a lack of true leadership, those who will lead with integrity. We're going to go to the book of Daniel tonight, look at the man, Daniel, and the life that he lives. And Daniel was a great prophet. He was a man that God used to speak of things to come. And, you know, a lot of times when we think of a prophet, that's specifically what we think of. A prophet is more than that. They spoke about a lot of things, but Daniel certainly was used of God in that way, that he spoke of things to come. And a lot of the things that Daniel spoke about have already come to pass, but many more of them are yet to come, and they will be fulfilled. But he was a man that God used that way. Daniel was a great leader during his life and had many great qualities. But the one thing that really set Daniel apart as a great man of God was his integrity, the life of integrity that he lived. And I want to just say this right up front at the beginning of this message tonight, that you see, a lot of times when people think about leadership, they think about the brightest bulb. They think about the person with, you know, what we consider to be those natural born ability. You know, they say, oh, he's a natural leader. And people think of looks sometimes and personality and certain talents and abilities. And you know what? I'm going to give this tonight. I am going to say that maybe sometimes those things can increase your sphere of influence, the number of people that you might impact. But here's the thing. All of us can have an impact on somebody. And here's what makes the difference in whether or not it matters in eternity. It's integrity. And you see, you might not consider yourself to be a great leader in the sense of how many people you influence. But you need to realize that you can be a great leader to one or a few. And over the years, I want to tell you, that adds up. So don't count yourself out tonight. In fact, if anything, this message tonight ought to tell you, it's really up to us if we want to be a leader. Because if we'll walk in integrity, if we'll have integrity in our life, we're going to have an influence. We're going to have an impact on the people around us. But integrity is that quality of being of sound moral principle. It is uprightness, honesty. It is soundness of heart. You know, when you talk about a building having integrity, that means it's solid. It's not coming down. It's sound. And that's what we're saying about our life. When we have integrity, it's solid. It's sound. It's the same through and through. You know, Jesus made it really clear in his teaching that it was important what was on the inside. He talked about some of the religious leaders of the day looking good on the outside, but he said on the inside they were full of dead men's bones. And oh, how we know this. It's not just appearance. It's what's on the inside. It's what's real. It's what's true. And that speaks of integrity. Biblical leadership is more than just knowing how to influence people. It's become real popular in leadership teaching in the church to use a lot of worldly principles. And I just got to tell you, I don't do that. I'm just going to stick with the Bible. I think it has what we really need. But one of the things that's often said about leadership that is true to some degree is that leadership is influence. And there's certainly some truth to that. But hear me, biblical leadership is more than just influencing some people. There's a lot of people in this world influencing people, but not necessarily for good and not making a difference in eternity. No, that's what is really important, is that we're making a difference in eternity, making a difference in people's lives, helping lead them in the right directions. Now, it's really strange to me, but surveys have shown that honesty and integrity are the characteristics that people desire most in a leader. Now, that shocks me. It really does, because we're just living in a time where there's so little integrity in leadership. You consider the people that are elected to govern, and please don't misunderstand me. I'm not being political tonight. It makes no difference what party. None of that has anything to do with what I'm saying right now. You just look at the spectrum straight across the board. The people that are elected in our country to lead, chosen, and not just at politicians, but people that are chosen to run companies. It is most often those who seem to have the best game. Not those who have integrity or character. Now, we talk about integrity. We talk about character. We act like, oh, those things are so important. But when it comes down to, most often, this world chooses leaders who they think bring the best game. They choose leaders who think will accomplish their personal interest. And I'm just telling you that what we really need is people with integrity. Those are the ones that make a difference in people's lives. Those are the ones that impact eternity. Those are the ones that God uses. And you know what? Every one of us can be one of those. You might not have been before tonight, but you can decide to be one. You know, it certainly makes good sense that people would want leaders that have integrity, because when you allow someone to lead you, in a sense, you're giving them a certain measure of influence in your life. And if somebody's going to have an influence in our life, we want that to be somebody that we can trust. And so I want to say to you that integrity is key to you gaining people's trust. You see, if they know they can trust you, how do they know that? Well, they see integrity in your life. And if they know they can trust you, they'll be willing to listen to you. They'll be willing to allow you to have an impact in their life. But integrity is so important to gaining trust. People need to know that we're honest, that we are who we profess to be. This has been one of the criticisms of Christians that I've heard all my life. Even before I really turned my life over to the Lord, I used to hear this as a teenager, that, you know, people would say, "Oh, I don't need to go down to church and be down there with the rest, with all those hypocrites." And I know that for a lot of people, that's just a cop out. It's just an excuse. It's just a way for them to justify why they don't go to church. But I also know that too often there's been some truth in that. And if we want to influence people, we have to earn their trust. You know, trust is never free, and it's not quick. It takes time, and it has to be earned. And when you earn that trust by living a life of integrity, I tell you, then you can really have an impact in somebody's life. But if people are going to follow you and through difficult times in life, they're going to follow you in a business, much less if they're going to follow in ministry, we have to live a life of integrity and earn their trust. Trust, it can't be gained in a day. No, it comes from a life of integrity. And, you know, people will watch you, especially if you talk to them about the Lord. People will watch you. I can't help but think of a dear friend that came to church about 10 years ago, and his first Sunday, he just kind of stood by and just kept looking at everybody, and especially the preacher, just watching. He decided we were all right. But I'm just telling you, people will watch you to see if you're real, if you're who you say you are. And you see, they've got to see that integrity in our life before they'll trust us and before they'll allow us to really have an impact in their life. Here's, talk about people not doing what they say. Here's one that I get all the time. I'll see you next Sunday. That's code for I will never see you again. I remember when I first came back to Grace, and there were, you know, it was a great time of transition and lots of challenges there with the transition of a pastor who had served the Lord and served God's people for 50 years, and no way I could fill those shoes. And so there were some unhappy people. People were leaving. And this one lady, she came to me and she said, "Now, brother, you know, God is just cleaning house. He's preparing things for better. These people needed to go so that God could move and God could work." She left about 2 weeks later. I was like, I guess he's cleaning the house still. But I'm just telling you, it's funny how we can say one thing, and you know, I'm gonna work in this area of ministry, and then they went one time or never. It's just really funny. We say one thing and then we do another. And I'm telling you, people need to see our integrity and whatever we say, that we mean it. We're living in this time where politicians flip-flop on issues depending on who they're talking to and what the circumstances are at the time. Promises and contracts are broken every day in the name of convenience. And this ever-changing world, people's values and convictions just change with the wind. They change their convictions more often than they do their clothes sometimes. It's constant. It seems like there's no moral absolutes. There's nothing that stands. And we have to be the people that have enough integrity that we hold to what we believe. We hold to our values, to our convictions. In fact, I think one of the strange things about the time we live in is a lot of people just flat don't have any convictions. One of the things I read in the Bible about the Holy Spirit is he convicts. And he convicts of sin. But you know what? Each and every one of us, we ought to have some personal convictions. And it seems like sometimes people, you Christians are real bad about this, where if we have a conviction about something, we think it's our job to force everybody else to live by our conviction. What we need to do is just focus on living by our convictions ourselves. And I acknowledge and I know and I've learned, it's one of the things. If you're teachable, you learn some things with age. And I've learned everybody doesn't need to live by my convictions, but they sure do need to live by their own, and they need to have some. You need to have some convictions. You need to decide some things that are right and wrong before you get in the midst of a battle, a situation. You see, a lot of people try to decide what's right and wrong when they're in a place where they can't even choose right at that moment. You need to decide ahead of time. But it's that consistency that we stick with what we say. No matter who's around, no matter who's listening, no matter who sees, we're not just putting on a show. It's who we really are. No one respects a person that pretends to be something that they're not. So if we're going to lead anybody, a neighbor, our family, co-workers, work in some area of ministry, we got to have integrity. Daniel's a great example of integrity. We talked about Joseph a couple of months ago. Daniel's similar to Joseph in that as a young man, he set himself apart from the crowd as someone who had real character. And there are three great test that we see in the book of Daniel. Three things that tested Daniel's integrity. And certainly there are more, but we're going to focus on those three tonight. Each one reveals his integrity, and each one leads to a promotion in his life in one way or another. And I'm going to tell you that, yes, you'll face other tests too, but these three tests will show up in your life as a Christian sooner or later. The first one comes pretty early in the book of Daniel. It's Daniel chapter 1. And the Israelites have been taken captive by the Babylonians, and they took the best looking, the smartest, the healthiest. They took the best of the best, and they trained them to serve in the king's court. They were going to be fed the king's food and the king's wine. Most people would have thought that that sounded really cool. I mean, come on. You're going to eat the king's food? It's like five-star restaurant every night. I'd like to have been in on that, wouldn't you? I like some good food. But you see, Daniel had convictions about the kinds of foods that he ate. He had convictions about what he would drink. And so here's what Daniel said, and it's Daniel 1, verse 8. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, first of all, I just want you to see here that Daniel purposed. You see, he actually had a conviction about some things. There were some things that he had already decided. Some things are wrong and some things are right. And he wasn't going to change it just because of the opportunity, just because of the convenience, just because, hey, this is my chance to get in good with the king. So I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to cooperate and go with the flow. No, this was a real test for Daniel. It was a test of conviction. In the Old Testament, you know, there were a lot of laws about what you could eat or what you could drink. And it may seem unimportant to us, but you see, to Daniel, it was a matter of conviction. And it became an issue of integrity that he had to stick with his convictions. What he thought to be right and wrong didn't change just because of who he was with or where he was or the situation at hand. And oh, how we need to hear that tonight, that there is a test of conviction. I'm going to say it one more time, at least once more. First, you need to have some convictions. Don't be like this world where you just, it's constantly changing. Well, you know, I'll decide when I'm in that situation. No, you decide what's right and what's wrong in your own life and stand by your convictions. That's what Daniel did. Most people would have said, you know, when you're in Babylon, you do as the Babylonians, right? But his convictions didn't change just because of where he was. And you know, whether it's at work or school or even a party, what's right is right, what's wrong is wrong, and that doesn't change. And if you have a conviction about something, you need to stick with it, no matter where you are, no matter who's around. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts us. And that doesn't change depending on the situation or who we're around. You see, that's all that lie of this relative morality that the world lives by. Relative. It changes with whatever situation. No, we got to have some convictions about what's right and what's wrong. We all face opportunities to compromise. We all face times it would be easier to just go with the flow. Go with the flow. By the very definition of leading, being a leader, that means you don't go with the flow. If you're one of the crowd, you're not leading. To lead, you got to be willing to be different. And that's what Daniel did by sticking by his conviction. He was being different. Daniel and his three friends that were with him, they made that choice to do the right thing. And we got to make our decisions according to the Word of God, according to the convictions of the Holy Spirit is given to us, purpose in our heart. You see, if you're single, you need to have some convictions about the kind of person that you would date. And, you know, well, we'll just take off the heat here, okay? If you're single tonight, I'm not talking about you anymore. I'm going to talk about teenagers. I was a youth pastor for a long, long, long time. And I cannot tell you how many times these young people had convictions about the kind of guy or girl that they would be willing to go out with. But then walked in this looker, and all of a sudden their convictions changed. See, a lot of people had convictions about the kind of person they would do business with or the kind of business or deal they would get involved in. But then, when the right opportunity comes along, the convictions get left outside. I'm just telling you, all of us face a conviction test that will show whether or not our integrity is real. If we're really what we say we are, if we're really who we profess to be. But Daniel did. When he asked that he would only be given vegetables for 10 days to see if he and his friends would not be just as healthy as those that ate the king's food. Now, I want to read to you from Daniel 8, chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. It says, at the end of the days when the king had said they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king interviewed them, and among them all none was found. Among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in his realm. 10 times better. Isn't it amazing how when you honor God, when you stick with your convictions, that God then will honor you? And so often, you see, we feel the threat, the fear of man, the peer pressure, or whatever else, you know, that if you don't go along, you know, if you're unwilling to just go with the flow and do like everybody else, that you're going to suffer for it. And you know what? I'm just going to be straight with you tonight. Sometimes you might suffer for it in the things of man, in the eyes of man. Not everything always falls into place, but I'll tell you this, that God will always honor you and he will always make it up to you. He's bigger than man. You don't need to fear man. Oh, we need to fear God, not man. But he holds to his convictions and he gets a promotion. Real integrity. That's living what you profess, the same all the time. None of us thinks much of the person who's faithful to their spouse most of the time. Right? No. We want to see integrity. And that's what we really admire deep down in our heart, is integrity. But just like with Daniel, there's always going to be pressure to compromise, pressure to get you to change what you believe in a certain situation. I'm going to talk to you for just a second about one of our convictions. I'm not trying to get anybody else to live by my convictions. I'm just giving you an example of what it's like when you choose to live by your convictions. So many years ago, when our kids were still teenagers and they were involved in extracurricular activities at school, and I happened to be their youth pastor at the time, by the way. And so we just had a real conviction that, you know what, the schools, even then, the schools are starting to do this thing where they're having activities, and especially with these extracurricular activities, they're doing practices and things where it's going to interfere with Wednesday night church and some of those kinds of issues. And we just decided, you know what, we're not going to give in to that. The kids are going to be in church, they're going to, no matter what. And our kids seemed to be fine with it. If they weren't, we didn't know. But that was our conviction. We just decided, you know, whatever the consequences, that's what we're going to do. Now, we'll tell you this. They made straight A's. And they were very good at the extracurricular activities they were involved in. But they suffered no harm for that. They made an exception for them. And I'm just telling you that God is able to do that. We just have to be willing to stand by our convictions. Now, by the way, I'm going to say it very clearly. That's not the way you deal with your kids. I'm not telling you to live by my convictions. I'm just giving the example. You got to be willing, whatever your convictions are, whatever you think is right, live by it. There's always a test of conviction that shows our integrity. Hold to your convictions. Daniel's second test was the test of success. Did you know success will absolutely test you? It will try you. Daniel chapter 2 tells the story of his next test. King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream and it troubled him and it made him anxious. He couldn't even sleep anymore. And he calls all of the astrologers, all of the wise men in the land. He says, I want you to tell me my dream and then tell me what it means. Well, they all say, well, tell us the dream and we'll interpret it for you. But we can't interpret a dream. We don't even know what it is. So tell us the dream and we'll interpret it. And Nebuchadnezzar says, no. If you're really hearing, if you really can interpret it, you can also tell me what the dream was. And so they couldn't do it. They said, this is impossible. So Nebuchadnezzar makes a decree that he's going to have all of the wise men in the land put to death. And so the man that's put in charge of carrying this out, he eventually comes to Daniel and his friends. And Daniel tells him, give us some time. And so Daniel and his friends, they pray. They start seeking God and asking God for the answer. And finally, the Lord gives Daniel the dream and the interpretation. It's Daniel 2, 19. It says, the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness. A light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might and have made known to me what we've asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's demand. So God revealed to Daniel the dream and the interpretation and this vision. And you see here, and his prayer and his praise to God, that he prayed about it and then he gave all the praise to God. Listen, if you, first of all, you ought to pray about it. Whatever challenges you have, whatever tasks you have, don't think, I got this. Pray about it. And then when it turns out good, give God the praise. It's amazing how when we have just a little bit of success, that then our pride gets in, you know, it goes to our head. Pride takes over. We start thinking, look what I did. Hey, I managed this. Man, I got this together. This turned out good for me. Look what I did. Listen, if you prayed about it, you better give all the glory to God. There is a test of success, and a lot of people, their integrity fails when they have some success. Listen, it happens to businessmen. It happens to preachers. It happens to students. It happens to everybody. Success. Daniel had done what no one else could do. He had done what others said was impossible. We all know that a lot of people, their character fails when they go through trials and hardships. But I'm telling you this, that a lot of leaders fail in integrity when they're successful. It's not really that success causes them to lose their integrity. It's really that the success revealed what was already in their heart. You know, somebody wins the lottery and they get $30 million it is absolutely amazing how often that then is the destruction of their life. Their family falls apart, they get divorced, they end up hating all their family and friends, and it's all a disaster. Well, I want to tell you that evil was already in their heart. The money just revealed it all. And a lot of the time, that's the way it happens. It's that test of success will reveal whether or not you have real integrity or not. Daniel gave all the glory to God. He stayed humble. There was no pride. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. And you know, in our culture where pride is touted as a good thing, most people just can't help but taking some of the credit, whatever success we have, whatever's going right, we need to give the glory back to God. And not just between us and God. No, we need to be public about it. You see, it's too easy for us in our pride to just take the credit for the things that we accomplished or the things that are going right. Daniel 2, 27 or 28, Daniel answered in the presence of the king. They said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers cannot declare to the king, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. See, Daniel didn't try to promote himself. He just gave all the glory to God. He says, there's a God in heaven that's revealed it to Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't say, look what I did. How about a promotion? But he proceeds, he gives the king the interpretation of the dream and the interpretation. Look what happens next. In verse 46 through 48, King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded they should present an offering and incense to him. The king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal the secret. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. That's a huge promotion. And Daniel didn't seek it. He didn't try to get it by bragging about what he had done. It was something that God did because of his integrity. And I'm just telling you, if we'll walk in integrity, oh, God will give us greater and greater opportunities to influence others and make a difference in others' lives. We just got to be quick to give God the glory. Always. A little raise, a little praise, a promotion, a little power, prestige. It can be a real test in our life. Some people even get out of church when they start having some success in their life. It's like somehow or another they decided they don't need God. At least until the wheels come off and then they come back. When we have success, it's easy to start trusting in other things instead of God. And that brings us to the third test that Daniel faced. It's the test of trust. Where is your trust? There's going to be a test that will reveal where your trust really is. And this story, almost all of us know this story ever since we were little. It's Daniel in the lion's den. It's the big one. Usually there's some little tests before you get to the big one. Well, here comes Daniel's big one. The story is found in Daniel chapter 6. There's a new king in town. I mean, you would think after all the things that had happened before, that nobody would forget how great Daniel was, but a new king in town. It's King Darius, and Daniel's enemies want to get rid of him. And by the way, if you're going to have integrity in your life, if you're going to be a leader to anybody, there's going to be times when you have opposition, when you have some enemies. Just be ready. But they know that the only way they could really catch Daniel doing something wrong because he has such great integrity. They're not going to catch him doing anything wrong. And so they come up with this plan to get the king to make a decree that for 30 days, nobody can pray to anyone except to the king. And the king didn't really realize, you know, what was going on here, how this was going to impact Daniel. But he makes the decree, he passed this law, that anybody who prays to anybody else for 30 days will be thrown into the lion's den. Daniel 6:10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Now some people, I think the best way to get them to pray would be to tell them they can't. They don't want to carry a Bible to school unless somebody says they can't, and then they want to carry one. By the way, you can carry a Bible to public school. But this was his custom. This is the way he lived his life. This was his lifestyle. You see, he trusted God every day. He was looking to God. He was praying. He was seeking God. He was giving God thanks. Three times a day he did this. It wasn't just some ritual or habit that he did, but it was a sincere thing between him and God that three times a day he made it a point to bow his knee and to pray and to seek God. It was God that had been helping him all along. And so he just continued on like he had been. It's a test of trust. If you put your trust in the government, they will fail you. That's not un-American. I'm just telling you. You put your trust in the stock market, it'll fail you. You put your trust in your employer. There's only one who's really worthy of your absolute trust, and that is God. You know, you go to the doctor. You go to the doctor. I'm not saying don't go to doctors. You go to the doctor, but you're trusting God. See, God can use a doctor, but your trust is in God, not in a man. Whatever the situation, ultimately our trust has to be in God, not in anything or anybody else. And that's what was happening with Daniel here, is that when push came to shove, he wasn't going to trust in the politics. He wasn't going to trust in playing the game and trying to, you know, appease people. His trust was absolutely in the Lord. You know, the way that we would write this story would be, and Daniel trusted in the Lord, and so he was never thrown into the lion's den. But we know that's not how it happened. He was thrown in the lion's den. And sometimes when you're trusting God and you're not going along with man, sometimes you won't get thrown in the lion's den. But if you really trust in God, you hold to your integrity, you're going to be all right. Tough times will reveal where your trust really lies. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. So Daniel's thrown in the lion's den. Daniel chapter 6, beginning in verse 19, it says, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, that's his reputation, that's his integrity, your God, who you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? And Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. Wow. What a great testimony. What a great example to us. Now, I just want to keep reading here, all right? It says, and the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote, to all peoples, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus of the Persian. Daniel's enemies would have found another way to get him if he would have stopped praying. They still would have found a way to get him. But because he passed the trust test, God turned it all around and promoted him. You know, we read these stories in the Bible, and we know, we see the outcome. We know how the story ends. It's all good. And sometimes when we face these tests and these trials, we go through some great struggles. We go through some great battles. And sometimes it seems like, you know what, this didn't turn out the way I was hoping it would. But you just need to keep your faith, your trust in God. There's a trust test. Blessed is the man that endures the trial. God has a crown of life for him. And I'm just telling you, God will bless you. He's gonna see you through. But here's what I want, last thing I want to say tonight. I'm gonna pray and let you go. We're talking about leadership. We're talking about having an impact in somebody else's life. We're talking about them being able to trust you, to let you have that kind of influence in their life. We're talking about integrity. That's what it takes. Stand with me. We're going to pray.